All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad Podcast. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2024, and we are back with your Week 20 weekend preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Matty K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
All right, man. I think we both know we're trying to negotiate that last-minute blockbuster trade that may or may not happen.
Yeah, make sure definitely that you check your trade deadlines, and I think February 28 is our league deadline, so get your last little bits in, and best of luck going in and heading into playoffs. We will start, as we always do, in the infirmary. So, Alan, you want to take us away?
Yeah, probably the biggest news of the last 24 hours. Valeri Nichushkin, Machine Gun Valley, has cleared the player assistance program, and he's eligible to return to practice. Key word there. I guess it sounds like he's in the follow-up care phase of the program, so he can't play yet, but it doesn't matter because the Avs are currently on the road this week, so most likely everything checks out. He should start playing next week. This dampens my Lekkonen shares a lot. I feel like at least at even strength, Nichushkin will get the star deployment, but Lekkonen should still get power play one. But yeah, Drew and Colton. Yeah, they're probably drops as soon as he comes back.
Man, that's pretty jokes that they're not playing him on the road trip. Like, have we ever had any questionable hotel shenanigans running on with Nichushkin?
Maybe. Oh, too soon, Jay.
Too soon indeed. Now, speaking of too soon, it is way too soon for Brian Rust, who is currently week to week with an upper body injury. So they said he left Sunday's game. Yeah, Ricky Racks, my goodness, seems to be the Penguin to own. I think we're going to touch him on it later. I think he's like 31% owned. And Riley Smith, I think, would be the other guy to own right now, especially among the Penguins.
Looks like at practice today, Raquel was at least line one with Crosby. And Riley Smith.
Yeah, maybe there's value.
And Raquel's on power play one.
Yeah, maybe there's value not just in Ricky or Riley Smith, but maybe both of them just have an uptick with, I guess Gensel's also out, right? This makes perfect sense.
Right. And supposedly on the move somewhere. So
yeah,
that could be the new first line for the rest of the season.
Could be indeed. Yeah. Okay. So if that's the new first line, that is great value for both Ricky Racks and also for Riley Smith. Yeah.
And then, Adrian Kempe, I totally missed this one till it came out. He's currently undergoing an MRI due to an injury he suffered in last night's game. I haven't seen any practice lines to see what could happen if he's out long term. Hopefully not, because I'm sure that totally throws a wrench in whatever trade plans the Kings had as well.
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, any player that would come up with the Kings would be either Trevor Moore gets more of a run, or I'm assuming Quentin Byfield gets a little more time, just off the top of my head.
Right. Well, because they had just bumped Byfield off line one for Lafreur. I don't know who they'd slide. Maybe they try Fiala at the other wing or something. Oh, but
yes. Yeah, they are surprisingly deep, but it also... I guess when we talk about deep too, like not necessarily fantasy relevant, right? Like if they all split, you know, in a nice even one goal among three games, and you know they split all the scoring that way for the Kings, it doesn't help us fantasy managers, but it certainly is good as an LA fan to have such split talent scoring wise. But yeah, I don't think you really replace on the LA Kings and Adrian Kempe level production just from line mates stepping up. Just off the top, I'm looking here. There's Trevor Moore. He's got, you know, a ton of shots and goals, and Drew Doughty, and heck, I guess even Anje Kopitar. But yeah, nobody else really that's producing to Kempe's level.
Here we go. Okay, so I just saw lines for tonight's Kopitar, Dubois, and Byfield on the right wing.
Dubois. Okay. Oh man. Okay.
I know. Oof.
But Byfield. Okay. At least Byfield's getting it. Now there is a long list in the infirmary, so we'll keep going on too. And some of these injuries are a little more serious as well. So notice and monitor these scenarios, situations, because they might impact fantasy as well in playoffs specifically. Tyler Seguin, he is week to week. They described it as a nagging issue. So it looks like he's been playing through injury. It also looks like Delandria has slid up to line two to play with Duchesne and Marchment. So just a good waiver wire monitor to possibly pick up if Dallas has a good week.
Yep. And then good news. Well, very good news. Very close call for the Panthers. Both Gustav Forsling and Matty Tkachuk have returned since our last recording, which is good. Yeah, good for me, because I thought Montour was going to take a nosedive if Tkachuk was out long term, because it felt like once he got going, that was helping Montour get going.
Yeah, and I guess the day-to-day tag is the important part, right? Like some of the other ones we mentioned with the week-to-weeks, like that's more concerning, I think, fantasy relevance-wise. Like day-to-day, you're hoping that doesn't mean, you know, a long-term.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of week-to-weeks left.
Yeah. Week-to-week in the semifinals and finals is basically season-ending. Konechny, now, on better news, too. He's also been out, but again, it's the day-to-day. He's got an upper body injury. Haven't heard much, but again, just as we mentioned in the last episode, that team is just basically Konechny scoring and everyone else kind of divvying up the roles. So good to monitor, at least for Philly, to see what's going on, because Philly obviously needs those wins to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's hard to predict in a Brind'Amour team who is going to slide up. Because, of course, I look at the lines on left wing lock and I'm like, oh, Couturier is like line four center. Never mind. I give up.
John Tortorella. But yeah,
speaking of Philly.
John Tortorella.
I know, right? He's a madman. Jamie Drysdale, also week to week with an upper body injury after an open ice hit on Sunday versus Pittsburgh. Zamula, good guy to check. I think he was listed as power play one left wing lock earlier today. But again, who knows? It's a Tortorella team. It could be Zamula today, Sanheim tomorrow, or some guy they call up.
Cam York stocks.
Exactly, yeah. Cam York, Walker, Philly Ranger. It could be anyone.
Yeah. The only thing that might not be likely to happen with the Torts team is the five forward setup they do in mini. So they might probably do they might probably run 2D before they'd run five forwards.
Although I don't know, that's my conspiracy theory that Tortorella intentionally does not try to succeed on the power play. So why not just run five forwards at some point?
Oh jeez. Oh man. The mind of Torts is sometimes beyond the mind of mortals. We are merely chaff in the wind compared to his immortal gaze. Going back on the sad train, the sad pain train of injury notifications, Clayton Keller staying in the desert. My goodness. Upper body injury. So the head coach said that when asked about Clayton Keller's injury, he said it will take a few days, .. not tomorrow, right? So clearly this is going to be at least sounding like a day-to-day injury. So certainly monitor the Arizona Coyotes. You're obviously going to get a ton of players with minutes bumps. But again, this is the best player on the team getting hurt in day-to-day. That's a huge talent deficit to overcome. I think the first name that jumps off from my mind is Nick Schmaltz. And it's a good or a bad thing if Nick Schmaltz is the first.
I was say foreshadowing, man, foreshadowing.
But it's a good or a bad thing if that's the best player that's going to pop up on mind.
I think that's it, because Kuzi came back tonight.
Kuzi came back? Oh my goodness, he was out with the illness. Okay, all right.
Oh, never mind. He is out tonight.
Still out.
I thought I read he was going to be in. Yeah. So there we go. There we go. And Big Kuzi out with illness tonight, which feels like half the league is, man. I know we're past-ish on COVID, but I don't know. Like, it's just must be this flu season. Like, it's just I got screwed Sunday by Monahan. Like, all of a sudden, he was, like, out with illness. what's going on?
Yeah, the sniffles is really funny. Although, to do a weird, deep cross-history dive on a fantasy hockey channel, but technically, when you think of the flu, isn't the flu just the Spanish influenza from, like, 100 years ago that never went away and, like, slightly changed over time?
I thought it changes over time.
Right. So functionally now, don't we basically have like double the chances? Because the flu that took us 100 years and it's still kicking around, you know, screwing around with
us. Nah, our bodies aren't that smart, Jay. You're giving our bodies too much credit.
Oh, man. Now there's two. Now there's COVID in addition to the flu. So have fun with that.
And wash your hands. And
wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your damn hands. Yeah, Alan, I guess we'll jump in straight into after our infirmary visit and our schedule analysis.
And that'll take us to the weekend schedule. So your Friday, Sunday teams are Anaheim, Arizona, New Jersey, and Washington. Friday only teams are Ottawa and Philly. And then your Sunday only teams are Buffalo, Edmonton, LA, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. For streamer suggestions, still in Strome. I hope you guys, if you picked him up, you hang on to him. 40% owned at the moment, so I definitely think that that's up from last week. Line 1, power play 1, currently on a 5-game, 8-point streak. I don't know if he scored tonight.
That's crazy.
But the Capitals kind of got punched in by the Wings. and then Nick Schmaltz, who we just mentioned, probably a beneficiary of a little bit more ice time with Keller gone. But he was already line 1, power play 1. He had 2 goals in his last game, and he's got 3 points in his last three games.
Got an assist tonight.
There we go. And then Adam Henrique on the Ducks, center left wing, 29%. Line 1, power play 1-ish. It's hard to tell on that team right now which one is the true power play, but looking at his power play time and percentage, he's definitely getting the lion's share. And he's also got 3 points in his last 4 games. Goalies, the Sharks have a back-to-back, and those guys are both lowly owned for pretty good reason. Unless you're in a volumes league, I'd stay away. Laurent Brossoit should get one of those. He got the start tonight, surprisingly, and then should start one of those back-to-back games, probably the Buffalo game, and then a few other back-to-backs to keep an eye on. Pittsburgh for Nedeljkovic, Edmonton for Pickard, and Minnesota for Fleury. And then your big boy bangers, Lawson Kraus, left wing, right wing. I think I mentioned it on the week preview show, 41%. Line 2, power play 2, gets a solid 3-4 hits a game, and then has 3 points in his last 4. Newcomer to the banger squad, Beck Mallinson on Washington, left wing only, 2% owned, so very deep cut. 3-4 hits a game, and he also has 3 points in his last 4 games. And then on the Ducks, Ilya Labushkin, defenseman 2%, mostly good for hits, but he will get you some blocks and shots too. With that, I will hand it over to Jay.
I think just as Alan touched on with the streamer suggestions, you can see that there are certain teams that are going to pop up with more frequency, especially with the extensive injury list that we mentioned. A lot of guys, obviously it's pain when the guys get injured, but it also means gain for potential, I guess, juicy pickups on the wire. So this week 20 weekend is no different. We're going to comb through with our strategy from before. We're going to talk first for teams that fit into our 3 games on 4 nights setup. So we're going to talk first about the Thursday, Friday back-to-back, and then the Friday, Sunday off night for those 3 specific games. That also gives you an early back-to-back as well as 2 off nights. That's the cream of the crop. So I guess focus and charge these 2 teams in particular to target and win your week 20 in the weekend. Arizona, Anaheim. So of those 2 guys, just as Alan mentioned with Kraus, with Schmaltz, I think the other player value that showed up really highly, but maybe again it might be our heavy bangers focused league, Alan, but Matt Dumba.
Dumba, he bangs.
Was such a productive member in fantasy scoring. Like this guy's got what, 137 hits. I don't even think he really scores, right? He's under 10 points for the season, just number
the occasional block. Point. He will get you the occasional point, but you stream him for the bangs.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I think that's almost the greater value in a points league or any league in which you're get like covering so many categories. Like, when they score, it's just an extra bonus. Like, they've gotten all this other jazz anyway. But yeah, so definitely in terms of Arizona, go to the well. Craziest part is Lawson Krause is getting line two power play 2 minutes. He's dual eligible and he's less than 50% owned, 41% ownership. And Nick Schmaltz, again, we mentioned top line, power play one. Obviously, Keller is hurt, so take that into account. But he's at 18% ownership. Like, so 4 out of 5 leagues don't have him rostered. Definitely he's worth picking up, especially not picking up as in like for a season-long hold, but definitely worth picking up this week 20 weekend. Going on to Anaheim, like Alan Reid covered the players that are relevant. Just look back to Alan's section and then any other player that might still possibly be hanging around. Mason McTavish was, it seems like he was dropped a lot when Anaheim had some poorer, less games played in their weeks. He's at what, 43% now, but he's still center left wing, dual eligible. And yeah, the power play, who knows, right? Like they're splitting it relatively evenly and he gets power play share. Cam Fowler also gets some power play share, 30% ownership, and he's on the D1 pairing. Another worth name considering. Lucas Dostal, right? He's like 5% ownership just off the top of my head. And I think even Gibson, right? Like depending on a volume league, if you need some bulk starts, I think he's hovering around 50% ownership too. But just check these two teams, right? Arizona, Anaheim. They have the golden weekend strategy and weekend 3 games in 4 nights schedule, and they have an early Thursday and Friday back to back, and they have a Friday and Sunday off night. So these two teams should be number one on priority targeting. There are several of the teams that have the 3 games and 4 off nights as well, but they have the Thursday, Saturday heavy night schedule, and then also the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. So then the Sunday obviously is an off night, but you know, you generally want to have your games played already before you know, like all your points consolidated by Friday night, Saturday night, so that you can kind of see where you are shaping up for the week to plan ahead. Now, that aside, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, for those 3 out of 4 nights, Buffalo, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, Winnipeg. Okay, so I guess we'll cover the easy team first. San Jose, everyone on the team should be available. Just look for anyone on that team. And if there is a shark and you can't fit any of the other guys listed, just go to the Sharks, check to see. I'll rattle off some names. I won't even rattle off their percentages because I checked and every single one of their percentages is under 10%. Like, it should not be an ownership issue. Fabian Zetterlund, Mikael Granlund, William Eklund, Anthony Duclair. Every guy I mentioned there is a power play one. Okay, just for context, all those names, all under 10% ownership.
Yeah, I'd say Granlund's probably like the guy you start with on that list.
Oh, definitely,
because he's probably like the line one center now that Hurdle and Couture are both out for who knows how long.
Yeah, it's a tough time. It's a tough time to be a San Jose Sharks fan, especially during this time period and frame.
That's what sucks, because one of those guys would have made for probably great trade pieces at the deadline. But yeah, really can't get anything for him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess the other name to mention that isn't on any power play one, but I think he still gets power play two, Mario Ferraro. Dude's got 151 blocks in 52 games. So that's around 3 blocks per game. That is like, that is value immense on any, obviously, categories league. But even if you're in a points league, you can go a heck of a lot worse than a guy that averages 3 blocks a game. That's San Jose real easy for the 3 out of 4 games on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Buffalo is another team that has this setup. I just chose players that were under 50%. So there's JJ Paterka's 19% on the right wing. He doesn't get any power play time. And there's Casey Mittelstadt. He's at 24%. He's only center eligible, but he gets line 2 power play 2. So just 2 guys to consider on Buffalo. Everyone else is pretty owned up, I will say. So looking around, you might have to go around from the Paterka and Mittelstadt level and then go down. At least Buffalo is a little better than Mini. So like Mini basically has the top 5 guys that are doing everything. And then the only other guy I was looking at in our bangers heavy league is Jake Middleton, like 8% ownership, D1, but the dude just bangs. The dude just combines.
Yeah. And is Marcus Foligno?
Marcus Foligno, yeah.
And right now?
I didn't even check like on the rest of
it. Yeah, he's a good bangers guy.
Marcus Foligno.
I bet Faber. is Faber.
Brock Faber is a 60% ownership, so maybe like there are going to be a number of leagues in which, yes, he's still available. Brock Faber, don't forget about him too. He's getting what, D1 power play one in certain spots when they kind of bounce him in and out. But by and large, right, like the setup with Mini is that you have Kaprizov, you have Boldy, and so Kaprizov is just a young, solid gun that every team should have anyway. Boldy is like, you know, dynasty leagues, and you know, people that think of fantasy beyond this season keep reminiscing and, you know, just nostalgizing. I feel like I'm verb turning a noun into a verb, but anyway, they look upon Matt Boldy as if he's gonna be the player they project in 3 or 4 years, you know, when he's got the run and everything. Right now, he's probably not worthy of the 92% ownership, but anyways, the problem with Mini is that you have what? Kaprizov doing Kaprizov things. You have Boldy, and everyone owns him because they think he's going to be so great. Eriksson Ek is just as owned as Boldy, which is nuts in my mind, because Eriksson Ek should definitely be owned up way higher. You should be like closer to 90, 95, 99%. I don't know what those 8% of leagues that don't have Eriksson Ek on their rosters. Zuccarello is also there with power play one. And then you're realizing that this team is just so stacked at the top. There's not much value elsewhere. Jake Middleton, really, if anything, is just kind of around. Like, he just does so much peripherally that he's relevant. The rest of this team is real, real dire. It is a tough time to scrape value from the rest of this team. Oh, who the hell is this guy? Brent Duhaime? He's got 143 hits. I guess this is another possibly big boy banger.
He's another banger, yeah.
Yeah, Duhaime.
I think he was in one of the streamer suggestions like a week or two ago.
Huh. Okay. Mini also has a good 3 out of 4 game schedule, and we suggest Jake Middleton, but also Duhaime, I guess. Moving on, Pittsburgh we talked about. So there's Rickard Rakell, Riley Smith, and monitor that. Both of them are 31% owned and 21% owned respectively. They get power play one or power play two, but possibly bumping up both to power play one at this point with the injuries. Also, another person that was getting line one and I couldn't power play one, and I couldn't tell if it was just for the game or not. But Lars Eller, he's 1% owned, but they said he was on power play one. So monitor that too. He's obviously center only eligible.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking there. That Pustalainen guy.
Pustalainen.
Their rookie.
He's getting
on
time
power
too.
Play one as well.
Oh.
Yeah. I think they threw him up there a couple times during the season. Yeah, Pustinen. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, it's going to be a little confusing to see what is going to end
right,
up.
Right. No, those are Eller and Pustinen would be the fringe guys. Like, if you just want access to that power play, that's kind of gross this season. But no, I'd say, yeah, Ricky Rax and Riley Smith are your guys you grab, especially. Oh, Riley Smith's dual eligible. I thought Ricky Rax was too.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So maybe. Maybe if you struggle or you have an overabundance of right wingers, take Riley Smith for more positional flexibility. But I think the value, if you could only play them both on the right wing anyway, would be Ricky Rax. I think he'd get more run. Winnipeg is the final team, and Winnipeg's got a number of players that are pretty possibly waiver wire, I guess, diamonds, so to speak. We'll touch on the two that are actually over 50% owned, but just. So there's Gabriel Vilardi. He's at 52%. He's at line one, power play one. I think you should definitely get Gabriel Vilardi if he's somehow available in your league. Neil Pionk is what? D2, power play two. He's just over 50% owned as well. And then the two other guys that are definitely worth it are the new guy, Sean Monahan, for the Monahanissance. He's at, what, 33% owned. He gets power play one. And then Nino Niederreiter, 17% right wing. He's on the third line, but he gets power play two. So these are just some good names just to rattle around in your head and think about as you're streaming for, I guess, the optimal three games in four-night setup. So you have your early with your off-nights, Arizona, Anaheim, a couple of names there. And then Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, there's Buffalo, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, Winnipeg. And we rattled off some names that could be valuable to pick up before. So some of these teams obviously are going to still be eligible when we're talking about other, strategy lookouts for week 20, right? So the other strategy is, even if you're not doing three games in four nights, you still are going to target two off nights, right? So the Friday, Sunday, still Arizona, still Anaheim. But the other two teams that are new that also play on Friday and Sundays off nights in week 20 are Washington and New Jersey. So for Washington, the two players I would say definitely monitor and choose are Tom Wilson. He's 46% owned, right wing, line one, power play one. Dylan Strome, 40% owned, center, line one, power play one as well. And I do want to shout out the...
And a spoiler alert, weeks 23 through 25, Caps have one of the better schedules. So some of these guys might be long-term holds for you.
Yes, definitely. I would hesitate slightly for teams who have the bye. So, for example, if you have the bye in weeks 24, I'm just looking at the Caps right here. The Caps play on all heavy nights, right? So it might not be necessarily the best, but if you play and you need to join the gauntlet of quarterfinalists, yeah, the Caps have a beautiful and juicy week 23 schedule that could really swing and make the difference for you. So different strategies, right? If you are on the bubble, the Caps might be a team where, you know, like, not saying you have to hold them, but certainly if you have the option between two streaming spots, you might want to reserve one streaming spot and see if you can hold on to one cap and use the other stream to try to win your weeks leading up to week 23. I don't know if I would care that much if I had a very decent lead, because the Caps don't have that juicy of a week 24 week. Now, I would also say to points in net, the goalie to own of the two, given that one is 35% owned, one is 55% owned. There's Darcy Kemper, who's at 55% ownership, but Charlie Lindgren's probably the goalie I would say I would look to own at least for the upcoming next little bit, like with 35% ownership, with a good schedule. You probably should see if he's available just to pick up for the week 20, just to see if he gets those starts. And oh man, I don't know though, this game. He led in eight goals. He led in eight goals tonight.
Oh, yeah. They kept him in the whole time, geez. That poor guy.
Yeah. So, you know for sure on Friday they are going to play Darcy Kemper. You just know there's no reason they would hold that guy for all eight goals if they didn't plan to play the other guy in net. Both goalies possibly might be available, just to see. It looks like they've split time pretty evenly, so just monitor that situation. We're going to jump to the other team for the Friday-Sunday. So there's for the Devils, I went all over because it looks like past that top line, it's a little difficult to find value. We'll start with Dawson Mercer, right? 21%, center, right wing eligible. Line three, power play two. There's Andre Palat. He's at 3% ownership. He gets also on the left wing, line two, power play two. There's Erik Haula, 9%. Left wing, line three, power play two. And then a deep, deep cut, right? But Curtis Lazar, 1% center, left, line two. And I guess the last one we'll touch on are a couple of back-to-back options you have. So Thursday and Friday, for the Thursday to Friday back-to-back, Arizona and Anaheim, obviously, as we mentioned before, have the back-to-back. So check to see any of those guys and see if they are available. For Friday to Saturday back-to-backs, we're going to have Ottawa. So Ottawa is in a center gold rush right now. So they have, I don't even know who their first line center is.
I think it was, at least going into this week, it was Shane Pinto for a minute. But Josh Norris just left tonight's game and is now day-to-day. So,
oh my goodness.
That kind of thins the playing field.
A little bit, but it also makes Shane Pinto stocks rocket up like crazy. Buy up Pinto shares immediately. Wow, I sound like a snake oil salesman. But okay, anyways, Shane Pinto, Josh Norris, and Claude Giroux were all the center heavy pieces that made up Ottawa's spine. Pinto came back from what, gambling suspension? Josh Norris came back from the IR, I think back in December. So a lot of these guys are far under-owned comparative to, I guess, like their outsized role on their respective teams. And it reflects in their ownership value, right? Josh Norris, 29% owned. Shane Pinto, 22% owned. Definitely for this upcoming week 20 weekend, you should own those Ottawa Senators. I also looked and there's Vladimir Tarasenko. He's at 49% owned. He gets power play two time. Just a couple Ottawa guys to keep on the radar. How's Anton Forsberg?
He got lit up last night, so I don't know that. Okay. It's hard to recommend either one of those guys because Corpy's getting lit up tonight. Forsberg got lit up last night, and they had to pull him. But both those guys are going to get one start on the other back-to-back in their schedule this week.
Yeah, it's I guess the record speaks for itself, right? Like, it's really hard to suggest any, especially if, like, and even in our league where it rewards goalie wins so much, like, you're going to find it hard on an Ottawa team to get the wins to support, you know, rostering them. But anyway, they do play the back-to-back. So if you're looking for a start, heck, Ottawa, you can go a heck of a lot wrong than a tandem, right? That guarantees a start. Okay. Then after the Friday-Saturday back-to-back, you have the Saturday-Sunday back-to-back, and some of these teams we've already covered before. So Buffalo, look at the previous section, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, Winnipeg. We covered all those teams and any players that you might look for those guys. And then there's Edmonton, right? The last team on the list that has the Saturday-Sunday back-to-back in the weekend of week 20. And just, man, Frank, we're saying his name each time, and his percentage actually ticks up. It's crazy. I don't know what people are trying. Oh my goodness. He started at 20%. I think it was 20 or 22% ownership when we first talked about this guy as a stream. But now Matthias Ekholm is at 51% ownership. D1 pairing, power play two. I guess get in on the Ekholm shares because Edmonton's got a playoff, great playoff schedule. But my goodness, it is a wild time.
That's why in, like, yeah, both formats, 23 to 25 and 24 to 26, like, Edmonton's got one of the nicer schedules, which is probably why people are scooping them up now.
If you could see the trade bonanza that happened in our league where everybody was collecting Oilers like Infinity Stones, it is maybe on the wire, Matthias Ekholm is the best you're going to get. Other two guys that are worth going as well, Warren Fogel and Corey Perry, right? So 13% owned, 10% owned. Maybe it does get better, right? These guys are power play two guys. Knock on wood, obviously, but barring any injury to the top five, these are the guys that would, you know, manifest upward and gain access to the McDavids, the Draisaitls, right, of the world. So maybe Warren Fogel, Corey Perry. Heck, you could do a heck of a lot worse. And I guess Calvin Picard? Like, I guess that's the guy we're...
Well, he'll definitely get... He should get you wins if that's what you're looking for.
Right.
I don't know about save percentage. I feel like it was him or Skinner fumbled last game. But yeah, no, yeah. Both of their records lately have been really good.
Yeah, I mean, like, you feel kind of bad too on some of this, right? Like, you look over and what? They lost to Mini 4-2. And it's not... And like... Edmonton's held down the fort, you know, with, like, definitely the shot volume, too. Like, an entire game with less than 20 shots. And for Mini to win that game, not even shooting 20 shots, is kind of incredible. But, yeah, Calvin Pickard should definitely get you some wins. And aside from that, I think we could roll it over to Alan.
Well, that's going to wrap it for tonight's show. We will park the van cap for tonight. As always, we ask all you Puck Bunnies and Bucks to like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your pod platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. And always keep an eye out for our Sit Start Saturdays from 11 to 12 before those first game starts for the day. And if you haven't already, come join us on the 5-Hole Discord. That is also in the show notes. And we're at about 2,500 or more fantasy hockey lovers of life, the universe, and everything. Good luck and good hockey this week, everyone, and thank you for listening.
We'll pick you up later.